Welcome to What a Creep, the show with Margot Donahue and Sonia Mansfield talking about creeps from the past to the present.
This is your quick guide to the biggest creeps, jerks, assholes, and losers, the best of the worst.
From two nice ladies who want the world to be a little less creepy.
Welcome back to What a Creep. This is Margot Donahue, and my cohort in creepitude, as always, is the amazing Sonia Mansfield. Hey, Sonia.
Hello, my friend.
Hello, my friend. So where I am in the world, Brooklyn, New York, it is freezing. It's been snowing all day. You were out in California. What is it like by you?
It's 60 degrees.
Jesus.
You're all fuck off.
Oh,
asshole.
My God. We have been hearing, we just wanted to reach out to our fans in Texas. It's been very cold there, and they're not prepared for it.
No. Be safe, friends.
Be very, very safe, you guys.
Be safe.
And my one piece of advice I could give you is, especially the windows that have air conditioners, if you don't have units in your windows, cover those up because they suck up a lot of energy and a lot of heat. So just be careful. Look out for each other. We're thinking about you. And screw Ted Cruz, who's apparently...
Oh, my God. Somebody already tagged us on Twitter and was like, looking forward to this episode. And I'm like, he is definitely on the list.
He's such FYI. A shithead, you guys.
He's such an asshole. And in case you don't know what we're talking about, Texas is freezing. People are dying, really. Like, it's
literally crazy.
And he got on a plane to Cancun because... Why would he want to stay and like help the people that he fucking represents? He's the worst. I hate him.
We'll probably talk about him on a bonus ep for Patreon because there's a lot that's going on there. But we are thinking about you guys in Texas, and we are the podcast, that talks about creeps from the past to the present. Just want to warn you guys ahead of time. Probably should have before I said the last statement, but we use salty language in this show. So if that's a problem for you, you may want to listen to another show, something nicer than this one. But we also have a Patreon page. Thank you guys so much for supporting the Patreon page. That's where we put out bonus episodes, and bonus content. I want to thank the people that have been leaving us 5-star reviews in iTunes. Always helps us out when people want to leave a 1-star.
Oh, thank you so much, people. Thank you.
And that would be Spaz Dog Mindy.
The names are the best.
And Cherry M and the Cat. So, guys, thank you so much for leaving us 5-star reviews. You can find us on social media on Facebook. We have a basic Facebook page. People use that just to complain about our language. We do have a private Facebook group. If you want to join the group, you do have to ask to join. And if you don't look like a total creep or act like a total creep, we'll let y'all in and on the fun. We are on Twitter at CreepPod because somebody had What a Creep for 10 years and never used it.
Creep.
We're on Instagram at What a Creep Podcast. We have an old-timey email, whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com. For comments, suggestions, for creeps, for non-creeps, and also if you would like to get some stickers, and I keep saying this, and I am going to get this out there, you guys, I will send the stickers out very soon. We're just having some problems with USPS here in America right now, but I have all your addresses. It's going to get out to you. And Sonia, do you want to talk about the website?
Yes, you can go to whatacreeppodcast.com and you can find everything you ever wanted to know about our podcast, but we're afraid to ask. It's got links to all of our past episodes and our merch store, which include, you know, it's at threadless.com. You can search like What a Creep Podcast if you want to do it that way. And you could get shirts and journals and tote bags and masks. They have masks and it's really high quality stuff. I bought a few different things from there and they've all been awesome.
Absolutely. And we were just talking off the air. We're looking to doing some things with other podcasts, like combine, you know, doing crossover shows with other podcasts that we're fans of. And also, Sonia and I are talking about possibly doing some Instagram live TV kind of thing. So we could take your questions and that kind of stuff. So look out for all that information. Follow us on all the things. That way you'll know when it's going to happen. And I'm going to be leading the discussion today. Usually what we do is we take turns back and forth with this. I'm still recovering from my surgery. I'm still having a little bit of issues with my voice. So please be patient as I go through this today. But we're talking about a real goddamn asshole. I had no idea how bad he was until I started doing the research. We're going to be talking about Marilyn Manson today. And Sonia, what do you know about Marilyn Manson?
All I know is like the beautiful people. Like, I did see Marilyn Manson. This is super weird. I used to go to something here called the Bridge School Benefit, which was like different bands would perform. It's a fundraiser for a school for children with special needs. And the whole idea is you perform acoustic music. And Marilyn Manson showed up one year performed.
And did he perform acoustically?
Yes.
What did he perform?
It was like this with the Smashing Pumpkins, and they did like Beautiful People and Dope Show and stuff like that. And Marilyn Manson's not my jam. It's fine. Like, I know people like that music or whatever, but I will say they had kids like on stage. A lot of the students from the school are on the stage, and they were really into it. And I was like, that's pretty cool.
Well, that's the most important thing.
Yeah. But, he's gross.
Yes, he's been in the news a lot lately, so we decided to talk about him. By the way, this is our season finale. Next week, we're going to start a whole new season with a quartet of creeps.
10. We're starting season 10, you all. Damn.
All right.
They said it wouldn't last.
That was Lisa Marie and Michael Jackson, right?
That's right.
And then they broke up like a few months later.
It's so good. It's so stupid. They did this whole thing on the MTV like Video Music Awards. And it was like, they said it wouldn't last. And then they like made out. It was so gross. Yeah. And then they broke up like 2 months later.
You know, I'm going to be doing, they're having a Graceland tours that are virtual. And I'm doing one in a few weeks.
That's awesome.
Which I can't wait.
That's going to be super fun.
Yeah.
I will be very curious to hear how it goes.
I'll let you all know.
Please.
Because we had Elvis on our show. We talked about Elvis as being a creep, so I want to see his creepy place.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I get it.
So are we ready for Marilyn Manson?
I'm so ready. Okay. Do it.
So for over 25 years, rocker Marilyn Manson has enjoyed a reputation as being one of the darkest theatrical performers in the rock space. He has sold millions of records, has multiple Grammy Award nominations. He's been the subject of massive protests around the world, all while enjoying an acting career and a reputation for dating beautiful women. He also turns out to be a massive creep who preyed on women for decades and is only now facing the consequences of truly horrible behavior. This is one of those hiding in plain sight kind of stories. He was not just playing a disgusting human. He really is one. And hopefully his reign of taking advantage of people is now over. We will find out. So my sources are, of course, the Marilyn Manson Wikipedia page. Also, we put all these in the show notes, by the way, so you can link to all these yourselves. Vanity Fair, News.com, The Cut, ToneDeaf.com, BBC, Pitchfork, Deadline, HuffPost, New York Post, Spin Magazine Q&A from 2009. You got to read that for yourselves, you guys. It's pretty incredible. And the book, The Long, Hard Road Out of Hell, by Marilyn Manson and Neil Strauss. He's
such a fucking asshole.
The trigger warnings here are coercive control, domestic abuse, self-harm, and sexual assault. Brian Hugh Warner was born in Canton, Ohio, to a semi-religious home environment. He went to Christian elementary, middle, and high school and had an affinity for the weirder, darker types of music his teachers preached against. In his book, he talks a little bit about religious hypocrisy and rebellion against groupthink. He went to community college in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where he found his people, music-wise, and he was actually studying journalism. He wrote for some local papers, local music publications about newer rock stars, one of them being Trent Reznor, who would become a mentor of his and later an enemy. More of that to come.
Mm-hmm.
His first band featured himself as Marilyn Manson. He combined the beauty of Hollywood history with a serial killer. So it was Marilyn Monroe and Charles Manson.
We should have, everyone should see, talk about plain sight. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. His bandmate was Scott Daisy Berkowitz Puteski, and they were known as Marilyn Manson and the Spooky Kids. This was in 1989, and you could see the beginnings of his look. He was very slim, tall, pale. He wore all black, and he liked to use religious imagery. Other members of Marilyn Manson would be Jordy White, known as Twiggy Ramirez, and Stephen Bear, who was known as Madonna Wayne Gacy. I know.
Okay.
In 1993, Trent Reznor produced their debut album, Portrait of an American Family, and Marilyn was his opening act on the Downward Spiral tour. I loved Trent Reznor, and I loved the Downward Spiral.
Early, like, Nine Inch Nails, like Pretty Hate Machine and Downward Spiral were the shit.
Yes, they were.
Everybody listened to that stuff. Whether you were into that kind of music or not, you knew that stuff because it was everywhere.
It was dark, and it was also, I don't know if you ever saw them live, but Nine Inch Nails were really, really good live.
I did see them live one time at the Shoreline Amphitheater. I hate the Shoreline. It sucks there, but I did see them there. Or him. I should say him, even though there is a band, but it's really him.
It's him. Yeah. Yeah. You're not going to show up if Trent's not there.
Yeah, right?
Can you imagine?
The Nine Inch Nails experience.
Without the guy singing or anything. Okay. So after that, Marilyn Manson recorded Smells Like Children in 1995, which included a cover of Sweet Dreams Are Made of This. After that, Trent Reznor co-produced Antichrist Superstar in 1997. It was a huge hit with The Beautiful People being one
beautiful
of the biggest.
The Beautiful People.
The albums were nominated for multiple Grammy Awards and MTV Video Music Awards, talking about MTV again. Mm-hmm. He was the poster boy of shock rock for the 90s. In addition to singing his own music, he also collaborated with multiple artists, including DMX and Eminem. His concerts were often picketed by Christian groups who objected to his theatricality, which included tearing up the Bible and using Nazi-style imagery to make the point that religion is an opiate for the masses. At the time, it was pretty easy to make fun of these protests because it all went back to the whole dark music means satanic behavior kind of thing, which was big in the 80s and the 90s, you know, playing music records backwards and you get all these messages and all that stupid shit.
It's one of the, you know, you think of like the character on The Simpsons. It's always like, what's someone think of the children? Like that sort of thing. That it's very easy to make fun of these protests.
Yes.
And I'm fine with it.
And I am too. They open themselves up for it. Mm-hmm. In addition to music, he had an acting career. It started with 1997's Lost Highway from David Lynch. He's also appeared in Jawbreaker and Eastbound and Down and Sons of Anarchy.
I thought he was also the kid in the Wonder Years.
Okay, so there's the whole rumor that is Paul his name? He played the best friend of the lead character in the Wonder Years as a kid. This is not true.
I love that it was like such a rumor, though. Like, people believed it. It killed me. It always makes me laugh. Someone be like, you know, he played Paul in The Wonder Years. No, he didn't.
And it's like, not that we didn't have the internet in 1997. We can look this shit up. Yeah.
Yeah. Or what was the other one? He's the older brother from Mr. Belvedere. That was the other one. I can't
hear it.
I was like, yeah. And I was like, no, he isn't.
Okay, my favorite Mr. Belvedere story, we probably talked about it before, but the older brother was roommates with Doug Benson, who Doug Benson has a podcast around for years and years and years. He's a comedian. And one day his roommate came home early from the set of Mr. Belvedere. And he's like, dude, what are you doing home so early? He's like, oh, Mr. Belvedere sat on his balls and they had to send him to the hospital.
I never not laugh at that story.
I tell it all the time.
When like somebody sat on his ball.
And you couldn't imagine, he just went, ooh.
Oh my gosh. We might have to stop recording. I'm going to have a giggle fit now.
Oh my
thinking
God.
Of Mr. Belvedere sitting on his balls.
R.I.P. Mr. Belvedere. Anyway, one of Marilyn Manson's most notable appearances This one makes me crazy. It's from Michael Moore, who I'm not that much of a fan of. I find him very smug. I don't find him very bright. Just me. But
yeah,
he had a movie called Bowling for Columbine, which was supposed to be talking about the state of guns in America and school shootings and stuff. And there's a section where he interviews Marilyn Manson, because Marilyn Manson was blamed. Part of the reason he was blamed for Columbine, it's his music and the kind of, and Marilyn Manson did an fine job of kind of defending himself. He's not brilliant, but it's just like the bar is so low.
So low.
That he was considered this genius. Oh my God, he's so smart. I'm like, oh, for God's sakes, people. Anyway, his romantic life has always been pretty busy. He had public relationships with people like actress Rose McGowan, 1999 to 2001. He also dated and married Dita Von Teese. She's a burlesque dancer and model. She broke things off with him because of his womanizing and boozing. He also dated for a while actress Evan Rachel Wood. When he met her when she was like 18, 19 years old, and he was 36.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's currently married to photographer Lindsay Usich. And he is also the godfather, by the way, of Lily Rose Depp, the daughter of Johnny Depp.
This should not surprise me.
Yeah. Johnny Depp actually used Marilyn Manson as his model when he was playing the Alice in Wonderland. He was playing that character. Not Alice in Wonderland. Yeah. No, Willy Wonka. Sorry, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
I'm like, they're the same thing to me.
Yeah, they are. It's the same author. No, it's not the same author. What am I even fucking talking about? It's the same director. That's what I'm thinking of.
Okay. Same director, same kind of character, same weird Johnny Depp. I'm so weird performance that makes me
put some contact lenses in me and give me a wig. I'm different now.
I'm totally, it's acting. I'm acting. Genius.
In 1999, Marilyn Manson published his memoir. It was The Long, Hard Road Out of Hell, co-written by possible future creep subject Neil Strauss. Neil Strauss is the co-author of a bunch of books, including the Motley Crue book that I really love, The Dirt, but also a book called The Game, which is all about picking up women.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
So we're going to talk about that book in a minute, but there's some shit in there that's like he was hiding in plain sight once again.
Yeah. I am fascinated that Marilyn Manson, that women wanted. I'm not blaming anybody, by the way. I'm not victim blaming. I just think Marilyn Manson is gross.
Yeah.
Physically. And unattractive. And I'm fascinated that there were women who were like, I'm going to get some of that.
Well, I think it's just the artist thing. He's, you know, people think he's deep. Yeah. They think he's smart.
Yeah. he's not my type, clearly.
Yeah.
My type is a Paul Rudd, not a Marilyn Manson. Exactly. So what do I know?
Now, there are people who were, even back then, when he was releasing that book, were saying that his image is not that far removed from what he was portraying. In 2009, he gave an interview to Spin magazine. I have that included in the show notes. You got to read it for yourself. But he was talking about breaking up with Evan Rachel Wood. And he had a very dark Christmas day in 2008. He said, "It was my lowest point. I did not call my family. I had pegged to my walls scrawlings of my song lyrics and bags of cocaine. I was struggling for being forsaken. I made the mistake of trying to own it. I called her 158 times that day. I took a razor blade on my face and hands. I wanted to show her the pain she had put me through."
Cool.
One of the songs he wrote for her was, "I Want to Kill You Like They Do in the Movies." He said, "I have fantasies every day that I smash her head with a sledgehammer."
Ew.
Yeah, this is 2009. So Evan Rachel Wood has been in show business since she was a child, and she first garnered major attention for the movie 13. But she's since been in a bunch of things, including HBO's True Blood and Westworld. And she had been hinting over the years about recovering from an abusive relationship in her past, and even spoke to the United States House Judiciary Committee on Crime, Terrorism, and Homeland Securities about the Sexual Assault Survivors Bill of Rights Act, and then to the California Senate for the Phoenix Act that would extend the statute of limitations on domestic abuse cases. She describes enduring rape, physical abuse, torture, starvation, sleep deprivation, and spying on her via internet and cell phone actively by a former partner. But she didn't name that person. And it wasn't until February 1st this year that she announced on Instagram that that former partner was Brian Warner, aka Marilyn Manson. And she stated, "He groomed me when I was a teenager and horrifically abused me for years. I was brainwashed and manipulated into submission. I am done living in fear of retaliation, slander, blackmail. He took a lot of pictures of her. I'm here to expose this dangerous man and call out the many industries that have enabled him before he ruins any more lives. I stand with me, the many victims who will no longer be silent." And that takes a lot of guts.
Yeah, it does.
We've talked about her before. You know, you go onto a movie set and sometimes they're not great places for women. It's certainly not a great place if you're a vulnerable person, and to have people know certain things about you and go out there and give a performance, especially something like Westworld, where she's being, you know, the character is being assaulted. I just can't imagine.
I can't. I actually had to bail on that show because it was too difficult for me to watch.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it was hard to watch. And she, by the way, she's amazing in the show. She's so good. And
she's always good.
Yeah, and how hard it must be to, I think people think it's easy for people in show business to share and open up, and sometimes we don't have empathy for them. And we talked about this a little bit when we did our episode about Britney Spears, and these are we're talking about human beings, and she is sharing, like, imagine sharing like the most traumatic thing that's ever happened to you and then going into work and everyone knows it. It's hard. That's so hard.
You know what I was thinking of just now?
She's so brave.
Do you remember? Okay. So Howard the Duck is the first Marvel movie, believe it or not, in the whole, that's, and what is their last name? Leah's last name.
Leah Thompson.
She was the star of that. And she thought it was going to be a big hit. And she was just an actress. She's just taking a part, right? She's just like doing a gig. The movie was such a flop for the time that she went on to do some, the movie she did with Howard Deutsch, Some Kind of Wonderful.
Some Kind of Wonderful. Yeah.
And she was on another podcast and they were talking about it. And she said, yeah, members of the crew like really gave me a hard time. They said really snotty, rude things to her, like just off, you know, just off the camera site, just off the sight line, just to kind of keep her in place. Like, it's not a safe. And I'm just like, why are you being shitty to her? She seems like the nicest person ever.
Also, it's not her fault. That's Howard the Duck sucks. Like, that's stupid.
It's really stupid. But the sets can be a very weird place.
Yeah,
is my point. Okay, so there have been a number of other women have come forward. So I'm going to try to go through these and just be as respectful as possible. But it's unbelievable when you start reading about it, how much he got away with. So Ashley Waters, she said, "In the beginning, he put me on a pedestal and would tell me I was saving his life. This is, by the way, known as love bombing. He would dictate the parameters of our reality. Horrifying, deranged behavior and insane scenarios became normalized. He offered her up for sexual encounters to potential collaborators and friends. She has been dealing with PTSD since she left him." Yes. Sarah McNally, she's a model who said that Manson acted like the perfect boyfriend at first and then he started alienating her from her friends and family, locking her in rooms and verbally abusing her for hours. He would force her to listen to him entertain other women in an adjacent room. She said when they filmed music videos, he would sometimes hide things to stage a problem so he can yell and scream at her.
Oh, my God.
He also threatened to beat her. Scarlett Capella, he exploited an unequal power dynamic and put me in a place of fear. Gabriella Acarino. She's an artist who met Manson in 2015 when she was 22. He was 46. She claims he initially said he loved her and wanted her to be on tour with him. After a while, he became abusive, tying her up and raping her.
Jesus.
He made her take a blood pact with him and later teased her for being black and having black DNA. He also told her he belonged to a gang that could get her killed. Ashley Lindsay Morgan, she's dated him in 2009. She said it went dark very quickly with him. Cutting him and abusing her became their thing. He also asked her to smuggle Nazi memorabilia from Thailand to America for him.
Oh, my God.
She's Jewish, by the way.
Yeah.
Chloe Black, she's a musician who dealt with Manson about 10 years ago, said he verbally abused her and physically assaulted her. She also said that he was anti-Semitic and racist and said racist things and made fun of her for liking black music. Louise Key Bell, she claims he emotionally and financially abused her for years, and she has experienced cyberbullying from his associates for many years for speaking out. Love Bailey is a queer fashion stylist, and about 10 years ago, she showed up at his house for a photo shoot. Marilyn had just finished having sex with his girlfriend, and the girl was stumbling out of his bedroom. She looked out of her mind on drugs. She just looked drugged out. So Love tried to help the woman, get to her feet and walk her away, and Marilyn Manson put a gun against her forehead and said, "I don't like this." Sorry.
Holy shit!
Yes. Charlene Yee, in 2018, she was an actress from the show House. She played Dr. Park. When Marilyn was on the set, he sexually harassed several women on the set and called her a Chinaman.
What the fuck?
Ellie Rosell, she's lead singer of the band Wolf Alice. She met Marilyn Manson at a festival years ago when he was extremely complimentary to her. When she looked down, she realized he was filming up her skirt with a GoPro. His manager explained to her that he does this all the time.
Oh, well, then that's okay if he does it all the time.
Yeah. And then Annie Abrams said, she's a publicist, he threatened her and claimed falsely that she would do certain things for him. And then he would call her up screaming like, "Yeah, you said you were going to do a thing for me and you never did it." And he told her that he knew people that could make her disappear without a trace. He also was threatened to commit suicide if she did not respond to his messages. Esme Bianco, she's from Game of Thrones. She had a relationship with Manson after she was a big fan of his work when she was a teenager. He promised her a role in a movie he was planning to make at his home. When she got there, he beat her and whipped her with camera equipment and lashed her back. A few weeks later,
oh my gosh,
he sent her a photo with a photo of her back that had red marks all over it. And he said he was bringing sexy back.
This guy is fucked up.
Yeah.
What a fucking monster.
Yeah. So one of his former assistants, Dan Cleary, has said that he's witnessed Manson's abuse personally. Trent Reznor cut off contact with him over 20 years ago. They were great friends. And then according to that book I was talking about before, The Long Hard Road Out of Hell, they would drink all day. They would hang out in New Orleans and LA and use drugs and hanging out with groupies and all that shit. And one of the worst stories from that book, and Trent Reznor completely denies this happened, but in LA, Trent Reznor had rented out the Sharon Tate mansion where he recorded one of his albums. And that's where the Charles Manson murders took place. And when they wanted to score, they never said groupie. They would say adversary or victim. That was Marilyn Manson's words. He said, "We pulled a trick," the Marilyn Manson, this is him, "which I became famous for. I've become quite famous for it. Pouring a large glass of tequila for your victim or adversary, and then a large glass of beer for yourself. You instruct them to drink the entire glass of tequila. until they become sick and then are left to be tormented.
Oh.
One time, one of the victims jumped into the pool, so I had to jump after her, even though I don't know how to swim. Marilyn Manson saying this. Mm-hmm. So I was in the pool with this sea bass. I suppose you can call her. By smell, she had become some porpoise fish woman, a water behemoth. So trying to create some entertainment, I created a game called Guess Who Is Going to Touch You. And we would bring her into the house, and I wrapped a towel around her face, which made us both feel better. And then he describes in really gross detail what he said he and Trent were doing to abuse the girl. I'm not going to go into those details.
Yeah.
But it's pretty fucking grim.
Oh, my God.
Reznor said this never happened, okay? But this was in his book from 1999. Mm-hmm. Also in his book, he said this about himself, Marilyn Manson. I walked away exhilarated by my success because there is nothing like making a difference in someone's life, even if there is a lifetime of nightmares and a fortune in therapy bills.
What?
Yeah. And
God, he's such a fucking asshole. I can't believe this dude.
Oh, and here's one too. Anyone I may have used should feel happy that they were even had a use. It's better than being useless.
Fuck you, Marilyn Man. Oh, Jesus Christ. You should be thankful.
Yeah.
You should be flattered.
Yeah.
You should be flattered that I wanted to use you. Fuck off.
Yep.
This dude, what a piece of shit.
Reznor stated, Marilyn Manson is a malicious guy who will step on anyone's face to succeed and cross any sense of decency. Seeing him now, he has become a dopey clown. And since all this has been going on, this is just in the last few weeks, he's been dropped by his manager of over 25 years. He's been dropped by the record label, his talent agent, his PR person. He says himself that his interactions with women have always been consensual, if unusual, and that there are horrible distortions of reality being told in these tales. His ex-wife, Dita Von T, says none of that behavior matches her experience with him. And she urges those that have incurred abuse to heal themselves. I don't think she knows what incurred means. I-N-C-U-R-R-E-D.
No.
She thinks she's using the word incorrectly. But Rose McGowan has said she has support for all of her victims, for all the victims. It didn't happen to her, but she understands and she believes them. He's also been dropped by the American Gods TV show that I know nothing about. And he is being investigated by the FBI for abuse allegations. He was investigated a couple of years ago, but the LA County DA's office said they had an absence of corroboration. So there are now new people in charge. And now currently, Marilyn Manson is staying at his LA mansion under 24-hour security watch. And that's our creep, Marilyn Manson.
Good job, Margot. What a fucking creep. Seriously, fuck that guy.
I know. It was like, I need a hazmat. I'm going to like need like a Silkwood shower.
Seriously.
And then a hazmat suit to like deal with this.
So it was his ex-wife, Dita, right?
Dita Von Teese.
Dita? Yeah. She issues a statement saying, well, it didn't happen to me and you should heal yourself. It's like, that's some tone deaf shit. Just because it didn't happen to you
doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Like, just shut up.
And
just
to incur something means you brought it into your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she's saying.
Yeah, No, it's you asked for it. What did you expect when you dated Marilyn Manson? Is what she's saying. And nah, fuck that.
Right.
I say fuck that. Good job, Margot.
Thank you.
That guy's a real asshole. Do you want to hear about someone who's not an asshole?
Yes, please.
Okay. I want to talk about Robert Smith. Do you like The Cure?
Who doesn't like The Cure? Monsters.
Seriously, who doesn't like The Cure? I listed a couple songs here. Just Like Heaven, song's rad. Friday I'm in Love, Pictures of You, Love Song, Love Cats, Boys Don't Cry. The Cure is fucking rad. And Robert Smith is I think, pretty interesting. Like, he looks like someone. I picked him because of the makeup, right? Like, Marilyn Manson has this, like, his fucking gross monster shit going on. And Robert Smith kind of started this, like, goth look, right? Mm-hmm. And he looks like someone who would be, like, a huge fucking asshole. But by all accounts, seems to be, like, a pretty mild-mannered, nice person. Born April 21st, 1959. He's English singer, songwriter, musician, record producer. He is in The Cure. He was also a lead guitarist for Susie and the Banshees.
Oh, yeah.
Which I didn't know. I don't know why I didn't know that. And The Cure was like his side project where he was going to do, like, quote unquote, stupid pop songs like Love Cats. And then Love Cats became like a huge hit. And The Cure was insanely popular in the 80s and early 90s. Like, and he was like never really really comfortable with that kind of fame. And he said that when Britpop came along and kind of pushed The Cure out of the limelight, he was almost relieved because then he could just like tour and play music and he didn't have to worry about the fame. And if you're wondering about his look, like, it's like black hair and like red lips, and like he wears these like black smudges under his eyes and kind of Edward Scissorhands looking. But so he's been married to the same woman since 1988. Aww. Her name is Mary Teresa Poole. And they met when they were in high school. They met when they were 14.
Aww.
And they have no children because he decided like he didn't feel like he's responsible enough to have a child. So they don't have kids, but they have like 25 nieces and nephews. And like pre-COVID, The Cure were like, they were touring all the time. And I'm kind of bummed that I didn't see them. And one of the things that they were doing was they were doing these like epic multi-encore shows. And he was trying to, I don't know if you know this, Bruce Springsteen did a concert once that was like 4 hours and 6 minutes.
Oh, he used to do that all the time.
Yeah. And Robert Smith had it in his head that he was going to break that record. And so he performed for like 4 hours and like 3 minutes because he miscalculated. So he didn't break the record, which I thought was funny. But he always does these really long shows. And like people will say, like, why don't you like keep the audience wanting more? And he'll say, because he's enjoying it so much and that he thinks the audience is enjoying it so much that he doesn't want to stop. But the reason I picked him was he actually does a lot of charity work. So he's like a big patron of a national charity called Heart Research in the UK. And it's an organization that raises money and does research for treatment of cardiovascular disease. He's raised like a shit ton of money for them. He donates like, he creates paintings and donates it to their auctions and things like that. He's raised a ton of money for them. He also raised a bunch of money for something called the Milk Crate Theatre in Sydney, Australia. It's a charity that uses performing arts to support people who have experienced homelessness or mental health issues, disabilities, trauma, things like that. And he most recently like had everyone in The Cure sign like this guitar amp, and they donated it and raised like a ton of money. And he does a lot of charity concerts, and most recently did one like during COVID times that was like online. It was like a 24-hour charity live stream event, and he performed 3 or 4 different songs to raise money for Doctors Without Borders.
Oh, wow.
And I just think that's really cool. Like, here's someone who, I don't know, could have gone like a Marilyn Manson route, and he kind of looks like he would. Mm-hmm. But he hasn't, like, married to the same person the whole time, does charity, not super comfortable with the limelight, and makes music that's fucking rad. That nobody sounds like The Cure.
Right.
When you hear The Cure, you're like, yeah, that's The Cure. Like, you know who they are. And I think that's really special. That's not something you get a lot of now. I did want to mention The Cure was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2019. And I really I liked researching about him. I was really impressed. He did have a big feud with Morsi back in the day. Morsi's a piece of work. And I think history played out that Robert Smith was on the right side of history there. But that's our Not a Creep is Robert Smith.
That's a great idea. I love The Cure. That's they're one of my favorite bands, and I listen to them.
Me
all the
too.
Time. Yeah, no, it's fantastic. And it's
I'm going to listen to them.
Yeah, we'll listen to them this afternoon, right after this.
Me too.
So that's the show this week, you guys. Thank you so much for supporting us. Once again, if you want to get some extra content, go to patreon.com. Look us up under What a Creep Podcast. We put out bonus episodes. We have a newsletter coming out soon.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You can follow us on Facebook and look up What a Creep Podcast group. Once again, that is a private group. We love it when you're using the GIF of Annie Potts from Ghostbusters. We got one. When you have an idea for a creep or a non-creep, once again, Twitter, it's at CreepPod. Our email is whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com. We're on Instagram, whatacreeppodcast. And am I forgetting anything, Sonia?
I think that's everything.
I was just going to say, we should. I forgot to mention, if you like the sound of our voices, you can listen to the Dorking Out show where Sonia and I just dork out about movies. And our next movie is going to be How to Lose a Guy in how many days? 10 days?
10 days. So I have never seen this movie. I think Margot has seen it once. It is one of the most requested movies. We have been getting that like nonstop for a year. People have been like, how about How to Lose a Guy in 10 days? I'm like, fine, we'll do it.
so gonna we be are next working out.
Yeah. And it'll be, I don't know if I'm going to like the movie or not because I've never seen it, but I think it'll be very fun to talk about because I don't know. It gives us a chance to talk about romantic comedies and that's always fun.
That's always a good time. So that's going to be the next Dorking Out show. This is the season finale. Next week, we start season 10. We're going to have a quartet of creeps, and it's going to be tabloid creeps. I'm super excited
about this.
Oh, my
gosh. That one's going to be the most fun.
It's going to be lit, you guys, as they used mm-hmm. to say. And so, Sonia, where can they find you?
You can find me at thesoniashow.com and The Sonia Show on Twitter and Instagram, where I'm posting photos of beer and my dogs. Where can they find you, Margo?
You can find me on social media at Brooklyn Fitchick, mostly for Twitter and Instagram, and my blog is brooklynfitchick.com. In the meantime, you guys, stay safe, stay warm, stay bundled up, but also socially distance, wash your hands, and you know, don't be a creep.
Creep!
Thank you for listening to us talk about creeps. You can follow us at What a Creep Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
But don't follow us too closely.
You can email us your creepy stories at whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com.
But please keep your dick pics to yourself.